we are going to take a very deep dive into these four components: pre-appointment, at the appointment, at the table, and at the close. Now, as we get started, on your piece of paper, not in the chat box, I want you to write down 1 through 4. If you had to score yourself now on 10 being excellent, 1 being I'm not that great, how would you score yourself in each one of these sections? And let me explain each one. Pre-appointment is everything you do prior to leaving the appointment. Your market analysis, your listing program and package preparation, researching the seller, doing everything that you're going to do to make sure that you're set up to leave at a high level. What would you score yourself? At the appointment, this is when you show up to the house, meet the client, earn trust, sit down with them and go over their goals, set expectations, do the promise, which we're going to talk about, deliver the promise, which is a technique so you can get a referral and another testimonial for every closed sale. All of these things. Touring the house, right? When you tour the house, you have a systemized way that you tour the house that is very proven and has the seller understanding that you're a top professional. When you get to the table, you can present your program. You can present your seller preferred terms. You can present your estimated net sheet. You can present your transition to close, what we call our onboarding worksheet, meaning taking the order. And then lastly, of course, the close. How strong are you? If you look back over the years of you selling, and as soon as you finish that listing presentation, you put down that pen and you look that seller right in the eye and you say, great, all I need from the two of you is a signature right here and a key for the lockbox. And they sign every time. Unless they were crazy on price and you walked out the door earlier. Right? So how are you scoring yourself? Because see, this is the thing. We've got to break down all four sections because all four of them provide a symphony. It would be like if we were in a band and you were really good at lead singer, but you had no guitar, not going to be the greatest band. I mean, I guess you could be a cappella, but all of the pieces of the band have to come together to make a great song, to make a great album. Okay. So let's talk about pre-appointment. This is critical. One of the biggest things that you have to leave with, and we're going to put this in the chat box and also in the vault, is you win the appointment on the initial phone call. You win the appointment on the initial phone call. So with our seller profile, the first thing that you're going to do is build rapport. And for those that, like me, have a GED, rapport means trust, right? You're going to build rapport with the seller. This document, I'm going to show you how to use it here in a second, does that. Of course, we've got to contain or confirm all of the details of the property. The more information I have up front, the better that I'm going to be in the appointment. And then, of course, establish the listing appointment and what's going to happen during the appointment, setting the expectation. Please listen to me very carefully. The top listing agents are masters at setting the expectation. Because when you set the expectation, you're able to objection block instead of objection handle. And some of you are here to want to learn about objection handlers and what to say. What if you could create a system where you don't get them at all? That's better. That's much better. I would rather not get any objections than have to handle objections later on. And that's what setting the expectation does. All right. So let's talk about this amazing document. Now, you can customize it. I've heard people say, well, there's things on here that I ask about that you don't ask about. I get it. This is a 2-page document. This document could be 13 pages, depending upon how detailed on the call you want to go. But remember, what we're trying to do is extract who I'm going to go meet with more than I'm worried about what I'm going to list. Write this down. The house can't sign the listing agreement. Only the person can. So we spend a lot of time on spending all this time trying to research the house, research all of this. That's important. I'm not going to say that's not important, but we spend very little time trying to understand who is the person that I'm going to meet with, because they're the ones that can pick up the pen and sign the agreement. not the house. So in the design of this seller profile, we're wanting to extract information that we're going to be able to utilize to build a relationship, to provide a high-level relationship when we go to meet with the seller or sellers or however. You know, I've had you know, estate sales where it's nine family members sitting across from me at a table all staring at me. I've had everything you could possibly imagine, but we're trying to create a profile to understand who they are and what they care about. Now, in this document, right, we're going to be looking at a couple of different things. First of all, the seller story. Now, the seller story is so important because we're going to use this later, not only in the presentation, but when we start to sell the property, so we can humanize the seller to the buyer. We're going to talk a lot about psychology later, right? That's right, Tennille. I love that. So we have to understand the seller's story, and those questions pull it out. What's the reason for the move? These aren't groundbreaking questions. When was the last time you sold the home? How did you find the home? We're not going to go through one by one, but I need to get some of these questions. You could ask more than this, right? Make more notes, but these are the kind of the standard ones. Then we need to find out about the special features and the hidden gems. So please write this down. The difference between a special feature and a hidden gem. A special feature is something, a component of the home. It would be a sauna, a golf simulator, a swimming pool, a hot tub, whatever makes that property kind of unique. That would be a special feature. Viking, you know, appliances or whatever it is, a heated garage floor. A hidden gem is something that is really interesting or cool about the property that most people wouldn't know unless you told them. So for example, every year the neighborhood has a block party and we have this cul-de-sac party and everyone comes out for Halloween and 4th of July and we have this huge blast and oh my gosh, the neighborhood. And if you have kids, I mean, you can walk to the school. It's less than 4 minutes. We're right next to XYZ trails. We have this, we have that. Michael Jordan was my neighbor. He lived three doors down from me. Whatever makes something a hidden gem that you're asking that person, since you've lived there, what really stood out? Not about the physical attributes about the property, but the cool things about living there, right? Let me ask you this and think about it. How many times when you're looking at listings do agents post the hidden gems? Right? Mary's saying never. Some of us are saying different times. And some are good agents, right? But I would say 90% of people are never getting that communication. It's 4-bedroom, 2-bath, it's got a jacuzzi hot tub, and it's got paint, right? And it's great. You should come buy it, right? We've got to humanize, and we've got to tell a story about every property, and you're going to see how this shows up. Now, the second page of this document, right, when we go to the second page, is all of the details about the home, because obviously you need a lot of these details. Because sometimes public records, when I say sometimes, a lot of times, tax record, public records, the MLS, the data's inaccurate. So we want to confirm everything, even if we have a lot of it. And you can have the data pulled up and you want to use the verbiage, I just want to confirm, blah, 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 right? You don't have to go, I have no idea what I'm doing in real estate and I'm going to ask you all these questions. But you want to make sure that when they bought it, did they finish the basement and you didn't know about it and it doesn't show? Did they add on an extra garage? Did they build a barn in the backyard or whatever they might have done? So we're just trying to get an entire profile of the property. Now, at the very bottom of this document, you're going to see three animal graphics, right? This is key. When I'm on the phone, I'm trying to identify if the seller that I'm going to meet with is a tiger, a dolphin, or a turtle. Because as you really move forward in your expertise on this, you're going to customize your presentation when you meet them based upon their personality style. So to quickly go through this, what is a tiger personality? Now, for those that know the DISC profile or that are KW and know KPAs and all of these things, right? Tiger is that high D. Yes, thanks, Nick. The driver personality, right? They care about how long is this going to take and how much is it going to cost, because you're wasting my time talking to you right now because I could be doing other things more important than you. Now, there's different egos involved, all these different things, but tigers are great to work with in a lot of ways because they're fast, they're decisive, and you don't have to sit here and talk about kids and families and you know, all of the other, you know, wonderful things that dolphins love, right? So the dolphin personality style, right? This is going to be the high I in the DISC profile. And if you want to Google after this, what's the DISC profile? And where's a place where you can take your own free test to see what you are. You might want to know what you are. Some of us go, well, I'm not really sure what I am. The reason we don't have four animals is because it was too complicated. I want you to think about, even in your regular life, anytime you meet people, what little game icon do they have above their head after you start talking to them for a few minutes? And you go, boop, oh, I got a dolphin on my hands. Let me shift gears. I know that now I'm going to be making a friend. I'm going to be talking to people about them. I'm going to ask them so many questions. I'm going to ask questions about their kids, about why they picked said paint color. Oh my gosh, the garden is so beautiful. Where do you shop? All of these different things. They're going to want to know more about who you are and what you believe in than they care about necessarily the process or the price. See, the problem is, ladies and gentlemen, we go on appointments and we try to, if we're a tiger, we shove our tiger presentation down a dolphin's throat. And I did this for years. And I can tell you from experience, because I would come in as a tiger and I'd be like, I'm the best that ever did it. And I'm awesome. And I had a goal to be in and out the house in 28 minutes or less. I used to set my stopwatch. Like, that's how many appointments I was going on and how twisted my brain was. I wasn't going to build a relationship. I was like, let's go in, out. I'm about to break a new time record here. And I lost a lot of opportunities. I won a lot of opportunities, of course, as well. But I lost a lot of opportunities and I lost a lot of repeat and referral business. So once I understood I had to shift gears and become a chameleon, whatever. I had to become a chameleon. I realized that I now have to, it's all about them. They like them. They don't care about me. So I had to shift gears to become that dolphin and go, okay, take a breath. So talk to me about what you can, you know, just get to know them. And then the last one, of course, is the turtle, right? So the turtle is the reason we all are alive and safe. They're cautious. They are concerned. They are engineers. They are people that just keep us alive. And they're, thank goodness for turtles. With turtles, right? Yeah. With turtles, what we want to do is, we know now that they're going to care about the agreements, the numbers, the process, the type of lockbox you're going to use, exactly how the showing process is going to work. You have to slow down massively with them and understand that going, everything is going to be fine. And let me show you in complete detail why you're going to be okay with working with me. And when you earn that turtle's safety and you earn their caution and they understand that. But if I come into a turtle and I'm a dolphin and I'm coming in to talk to a turtle and I'm like, so like, where do you guys go to dinner and da, 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 da. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, where did you get those curtains? The turtle's going to be like, stab me in my eyeball, right? They are not going to feel it the same way. So we are trying to, at the highest level, understand who we're talking to. And the question I usually get all the time is, well, what if they're both? Or what if I can't tell? If you can't tell on this phone call, you haven't asked enough questions. And here's how you know you have a tiger. They're already off the phone. Like, you know you're dealing with a tiger where they're like, yeah, okay, yeah, it's got 1,400 square feet. Okay, yeah, got it. Listen, man, I got another meeting. So are we good here? Okay, I'll see you tomorrow. All right, bye. Click, tiger. Dolphin, you're going to still be talking on the phone. You're going to look at it, an hour and a half's gone by. Turtle is going to be very cautious on the phone, and they're going to be like, so before you come, are you going to present, you know, the numbers and what about this? And they're going to start asking you a lot of questions and all of that. And it's totally fine. Now, if you get there and we get there and one person's the tiger and one person's a dolphin, What you're trying to identify, and you should be able to do this from practice really quickly, is who makes the decisions. And you're going to see that very early in the presentation. So this is just, we have fun with this. I know we do, but this gets into psychology a lot more. And it's critically important because, as I've said, when we get into next week and we talk about the market analysis and researching the seller and getting all the details to make sure that we go into this appointment, when you're doing this in real time, it's fast. We're going to slow it down so everyone can learn it, but the goal is, and please write this down, I'm going to print out this two-pager for the amount of appointments I need to take every month. Okay? So what I want you to do when you leave here today, if you're going to use this or create your own or whatever you want to do, print out so you know if you need 6 listing appointments this month. I want you to print out 6 of these and keep them visual at all times. I used to have a little kind of stacked file folder, you know what I mean? The little aluminum thing that kind of had like rows on it. And I would have the amount that I needed for that month. So, you know, in the beginning, it was like 6, and then it was 12, and then it was 14, and then it was 25. And I go, I stare at them and I go, every time I don't have one of these completed, I'm not on track to hit my goals. If I'm halfway through the month and I need to go on 10 listing appointments to take 5, and I'm only through 2 of them, suck it up, buttercup. Got to hit the phones or got to go out there and hit the doors. But your goal should be that visual understanding of when I complete these, that's leading me down to the lead measure that leads to the lag measure, which is the sales and the compensation that I deserve.